This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
AF.org.
Hey, very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson, and today we'll be with you until 2 o'clock talking sports. We invite you to get involved in today's program. You can do so by dialing us up at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can also reach us toll-free if you're outside of the 517 area code, and those phone numbers, 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Of course, we've got the big one coming up tonight at the Breslin Center. 9 o'clock tip between the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans. Michigan is favored by a point and a half if you look at some of the Vegas lines, and should be a great game as far as the Big Ten standings are concerned. As we mentioned in the open, as we mentioned yesterday, this will be the first time that these two teams will have gotten together, both ranked in the top 10. Hard to believe after 170 meetings, that is the first time that this is taking place. So we'll talk to Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press a little later in today's show. Kind of get a little bit, he's the Michigan beat writer. We'll kind of get a bit of a Michigan perspective on this game tonight. But we want to start off today's show and talk with a gentleman who is well-versed in the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, Drew Neitzel, a guard for Michigan State from 2004 to 2008, joining us for a couple of minutes. Good afternoon, Drew. How are you?
Thanks. What's going on, man?
Not much. Good to talk to you. We appreciate a couple minutes. I know you've been away from the rivalry for a little bit, but it never completely leaves you. What's your excitement level for tonight's game, considering that this is the first time both teams are ranked in the top 10, and this is no longer just a regional matchup? This is something everybody in the entire country is going to be paying attention to.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped for the game tonight, and I'll be there at the Brez watching my guys take care of business. So I'm excited, and it's the first time I'll be back at the Breslin to see a Michigan State game since I played. So should be a good time.
We saw you a couple weeks ago. I know you're back from Europe for playing for a little while. If you can just kind of catch the listeners up on what was happening with you this season, and maybe why you're back before the basketball season's over.
Season was going well. I was in Switzerland, and team was playing well. We were in second place. Things were going good, and I was battling an ankle injury pretty much all season. Started in the preseason, and wasn't healing up. So I'm back here now doing some rehab and trying to get healthy and figuring out what's next.
But you still kind of have that love for the game of basketball. I mean, when you and I talked before, you talked about it being a little bit different in Europe. But for you, the competition and still being able to go out there and play is kind of what you're still going after. And you've had a couple of looks at the NBA, and I know that's still kind of the ultimate goal.
Yeah, that's always the goal, to get to the NBA. And, you know, I've had my shots with the Timberwolves, Trailblazers, was with the Mavericks in preseason last year. So I've had my opportunities, and, you know, it's tough. It's tough to get in, and especially the older you get, the harder it is to make a roster, you know, especially with so many good young players coming out of college each year. So I'm still playing and, you know, weighing my options, seeing what's next. But, you know, it's been a great experience playing overseas and traveling the world and seeing different countries. And so it's been a true blessing.
Can you share maybe one story from your travels in Europe where you kind of, maybe it was something you saw or never thought you'd see, and it'll be something that will stick with you forever?
Well, last spring I went to China. Went on a tour with former NBA players. Traveled around China for a month. We played 8 games. Traveled with Dennis Rodman, Allen Iverson, Clyde Drexler. So, you know, that was something really special. You know, something that I'll never forget. Spending a month on the road with those guys, and you know, just hanging out with them, hearing stories, playing cards with them each night. You know, seeing the whole country of China. It was a very unique experience and something that, you know, doesn't happen every day.
Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State guard, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk. Drew, with this game tonight and with this rivalry, I mean, you grew up in Grand Rapids, so obviously the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, a very personal one for you. And when you were in school here, Michigan State was very successful against the University of Michigan. What are some of your fond memories about playing in this rivalry?
I mean, it's just it's a game that's bigger than the game itself, you know. With, you know, the media coverage is magnified, the fans, you know, the trash talk, the, you know, we're Michigan's better than Michigan State, Michigan State's better than Michigan. It's just a rivalry game, and that's why you go to a school like Michigan State to play in big games, and you know, that's what makes the experience worth it. And you know, I had pretty good success against Michigan in my career. I was 5-2. So, you know, if any Michigan fans talk trash to me, you know, I got the bragging rights. So,
well, and that's, you know, as Mark D'Antonio, the football coach, said, you know, when you walk the streets forever, you know, you'll be able to hold your head high if you win in this rivalry. Is that kind of how you looked at it when you played, that, you know, in the moment it was big because you were trying to win games and get to the Big Ten championship, but in a larger picture, it's a pride thing now, especially when you're gone from school?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, even when I'm back home and I'm in the gym working out, and, you know, I got my Michigan State gear on and there's another guy with Michigan, you know, it's still that rivalry, that intensity, you know, that hate for that other school. So, you know, it's intense. And, you know, like I said, I had some good success when I was at State, you know, during my 4 years against Michigan. So that's something I can take with me forever.
What you've had a chance to come back to the Brez and watch a couple games now. What are a couple of your quick thoughts of this year's Michigan State team? I mean, we keep hearing about the deficiencies that they have, the turnovers, a poor free throw shooting at times, sometimes taking defensive possessions off. Yet, Drew, they're 20-4, and in Tom Izzo's 18 years here as head coach at Michigan State, only one team had a better record after 24 games. So clearly they know how to do one thing, and that's win basketball games, even if portions of their game might be deficient, or at least a little more deficient than Tom wants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is a great team. You know, they got a very well-balanced team that they have with the big guys inside. You know, you got Dawson and on the wing, and then you got some great guards in Abilene. Harris and Valentine and all those guys, you know, they're playing well right now. They won 9 out of their last 10 in the Big Ten. So this is a great team and very well balanced. So they got a lot of options. And, you know, that game at Purdue, I think everybody played well and is clicking. So hopefully that'll carry over to tonight.
Well, when you look at the point guard position, we certainly have two of the better in the Big Ten tonight. How would you break down the matchup between Keith Appling and Trey Burke?
You know, I mean, Trey's had a great season so far, you know, stat-wise, and so has Keith. You know, he's done a great job. He's put the team on his back a number of times down the stretch, which that's what great point guards do. You know, he hit a lot of big shots, made a lot of big plays, and some of their wins this season. So I think that's going to be a great matchup to watch. I think Keith is a great defender, you know, especially playing against him in the summertime. I know, you know, when he puts his mind to it, he can really lock down guys. So, you know, that'll be a great matchup. The big guys inside, anxious to see what they can do. So it should be a lot of fun tonight.
Well, it's interesting that you say that when he puts his mind to it, because I've witnessed here over the last couple of weeks a more concerted effort on his part, I think, on the defensive end. We see guys coming down and slapping the floor like you guys used to do, and even Mateen and Morris and the guys before you, that kind of show of, okay, now it's time that we're going to lock things up here. You mentioned that he has a chance and has the ability to lock people down when he wants to. And to me, that's going to, even though it's not a one-on-one matchup to win the game, but how he defends Burke, because Burke can score when he wants to, how Keith defends Trey tonight, I think, is going to go a long way towards seeing if Michigan State can win.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, they're both great, great guards. So I don't think either one's going to shut the other one down completely. But, you know, if you can limit Burke's, you know, shots and make him take tough shots, I think that's what you got to do. You know, he's going to get his 15 or 20 points because he'll take a lot of shots. But, you know, I think you know, Keith is right up there with him as the best guard in the Big Ten. So, you know, like you said, he's got to put his mind to it and, you know, play with a little bit more intensity and passion sometimes and, you know, show some emotion. I think when he plays like that, he's a whole different player.
Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State guard, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk. Drew, how is Tom Izzo different leading up to the Michigan game than he is for maybe another Big Ten game? And we talked to him about it yesterday in the press conference. I called it disdain for the University of Michigan, especially early in his career because of some of the things that happened in recruiting. But that dislike, if you will, for your rival has carried over with him, but it's changed a little bit with different coaches because, as he says, you know, like a guy like John Beilein is building it the right way in Ann Arbor right now. But how is Tom different, if at all, leading up to a Michigan game?
Well, I think the great thing about Coach Izzo is he's always honest with you going into any game. You know, if he thinks you know, you should win by 20, he's going to tell you we should win by 20. He's not going to, you know, overemphasize a game or underemphasize it. So in the Michigan game, the intensity is always always magnified, you know, especially with the coaching staff in practice and film sessions. You know, everybody's a little on edge because everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to have a good performance. So, you know, things are intense, and, you know, that's the way it should be because, you know, we care about this rivalry and in this game. So, you know, that's the way it's got to be.
And speaking of caring about this rivalry, there was some talk on Twitter last night about you and some of your former teammates potentially being in the Izzone tonight. Can you confirm or deny the fact that you guys might be going crazy with the rest of the students tonight?
I won't be sitting in the Izzone. So I'm coming down with a couple buddies. So I don't know if they'd want to do that, but you know, we'll be sitting right there, you know, behind Demetrius Sekia and all those guys, and rooting on our guys tonight. You know, hoping they can get the win and you know, represent Spartan Nation well.
All right, Drew. Well, we appreciate a couple minutes here. Have a safe trip to East Lansing, and we'll catch up tonight at the game.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State guard, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk. Interesting to hear his comments, and I was most interested in trying to see how he would break down that point guard matchup, being a former point guard himself, and really taking a look at how Keith Appling is going to defend Trey Burke, because as Tom mentioned yesterday in the press conference, Burke is one thing that he has done this year is he's been able to get shots for other people, where last year he was really looking to get a shot for himself. So that's one part of his game that's changed. And watching those two guys go at it tonight for probably the better part of 38 to 40 minutes for each of them should be interesting, because Travis Trice will not play tonight for Michigan State. So again, a little knock in the depth for Michigan State tonight that they will not have Travis Trice available to play. Nonetheless, it'll be an interesting game to watch, and I know Drew's excited to take a look at that. But we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Defense spending takes up a huge chunk of the federal budget, so whether the sequester takes effect on March 1st or not, the Pentagon's purse is on the line. I'm Neil Cunnan, weapons procurement, force levels, health and retirement benefits, former Pentagon official Michelle Flournoy, and NPR's Tom Bowman on the future of funding the Department of Defense. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
We have a windy and mostly cloudy forecast for today. The high will be in the low 30s. Tonight, look for a low of 22. It'll be partly cloudy overnight. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high 38. It'll be cloudy with scattered snow on Thursday and a high near 40. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thanks very much, Scott. Welcome back to Sports Talk, everybody, here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV with you until 2 o'clock. We want to go right back out to our guest line, though, and welcome in Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. He is a beat writer for the University of Michigan. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Doing great. I'm sure you're probably on your way up, or you will be soon. Just if you can, give me a couple of quick thoughts on tonight's game. I was frankly a little surprised that Michigan was a 1-point favorite when the betting lines came out today. Not that that's the be-all, end-all, but I know a lot of people are expecting an exciting game tonight at the Breslin Center.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird, too. I guess that maybe it's just Michigan. Some people are enamored by offense. Maybe it's just, you know, they see Michigan's potential, and that's the way they're looking at it. You know, it's more maybe Michigan has higher end potential, which is probably true. But, you know, if they don't perform at that level, then, you know, what's it worth, right?
Well, and that's true. You know, it's always tough to win on the road in the Big Ten. That's the old adage, and certainly that proved to be the case for Michigan over the weekend, losing that heartbreaker at Wisconsin. I would think, though, as tough as that game is going to be to get over, Mark, you want to do it by having another big game right away, and Michigan's going to have that luxury that they're able to put that Wisconsin game to bed over the weekend and really set their focus on Michigan State.
Yeah, Beilein had said as much on his radio show last night. He said, he told him after practice, "I'm excited to get back on the court. We need to get back on the court and, you know, just move past this." It's one of those losses, especially with a young team that you'd be concerned could spill over a little bit and extend. But I don't think it's going to bother them tonight. I think they're going to get past it. And just getting on the court, you know, will be refreshing for them. It's going to be a great night. I think it's going to be really exciting. I think that these teams can both play different ways, and I think that that's one of the more appealing things about being someone who's going to watch this game is that you can see it going lots of different ways.
What are a couple of the keys that you're looking at going into this game tonight? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to the 2-point guards and what they both bring to the table. Well, one of the most interesting matchups for me is looking at a guy like Brandon Dawson, who is probably going to be guarding Tim Hardaway Jr. And as well as Tim has been playing, what a challenge that's going to be for Brandon to try and you're not going to shut him out, but you're going to try and from a Michigan State standpoint, try and slow Hardaway down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting matchup too. I think though, maybe it's the other way, who's Nick Stauskas going to guard? I mean, if Michigan gets in a situation where he's got to guard someone, if he gets switched on Dawson, it could be a really interesting matchup because Stauskas still is kind of figuring out how to guard people in college. I don't know, like, how much he did tough school either, but I think that's something that people are really going to have to look at, too, how it goes the other way. Because Hardaway and Dawson, maybe you can even call that a matchup draw. Maybe Hardaway's a little more prolific scoring-wise, but at the same time, Dawson has that explosion. But, you know, those other matchups, it's not the ones you see. It's kind of the ones that are on the periphery that could really, you know, X-factor types that can determine the game.
Well, those are a couple of the ones. And then, you know, underneath, you know, I think Michigan State has a little bit of an advantage when you look at how Nixon Payne have been playing. You don't see a lot of guys playing with their back to the basket in the Big Ten, but those are two guys this year that have had some success doing that.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a matchup problem for Michigan because Michigan's already depleted in the front court with the best big man defender, Jordan Morgan. You know, probably won't play, and if he does play, it'll be severely limited. You know, with his bad sprained ankle. So I think that's going to be something that'll be definitely an advantage for Michigan State. The question is, how much do they attack that? How much do they put the pressure on and try to get Mitch McGarry in foul trouble and leave Michigan without bigs that matter? Obviously, John Horford can play in stretches, but he hasn't proven to be playing at a high level over a long period of time like McGarry has in recent games. So I think I would assume that's somewhere Michigan State will attack early and see if they can get McGarry in foul trouble. And the other way, you know, back to the Appling Burke thing, I think foul trouble plays a big role in this game. I mean, we saw with...
I have a couple questions for Mr. Schneider, if I may.
Hey, Mark, I think we just lost Mark. Hey, Todd, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, hopefully you can get Mark on. I had a couple questions regarding Michigan basketball.
Yeah,
one that he could maybe answer rather easily, and one just kind of an opinion. So if you could get him on back on the line.
Yeah, we'll get him on. Why don't you shoot him to me, and then we'll get him dialed back in here. As you could hear, we were having a little problems with the cell connection, so we may have just dropped him for a second, but we'll get him back
okay,
on. But
well,
what were your questions?
Very, One is a very specific question, and one is more of his opinion. I greatly regard his work and writing for the Detroit Free Press. First of all, I was noticing, I wondered why, I noticed the other day that Mitch McGarry is 20 years old already as a freshman. He's older than Cody Zeller and about the same age as Keith Appling, even though he's two grades below. Was Mitch McGarry a Mormon mission, or did he have military service? Does Mark have any reason to know or reason to why Mitch McGarry is 20 years old as a freshman? That's slightly unusual. It's probably not unheard of. Like I said, if he was a Mormon or something and had gone on a mission, you see that quite regularly at a place like BYU. And then finally, in my opinion, Jalen Rose, who does a good job at what he does, has kind of gone on TV and kind of publicly through that gig and the papers lobbied to get the Fab Five or whatever, you know, the Fraud Five, whatever you appear to call them, has lobbied rather publicly to try to get those guys re-included in Michigan basketball. In Mark's opinion, what does he feel that the current Michigan's administration's feelings towards that are? I know there are still some NCAA sanctions involved with that, but he's been around that program enough to know that what does he feel, in his opinion, again, what Mary Sue Coleman and David Brandon feel about the five basketball players, irregardless of what you call them, and their ability to get back in the program. If you could ask those two questions, I'd greatly appreciate it.
All right, Todd, we appreciate your phone call today. Let's bring Mark back into the fold. Mark, apologize about that, but we did have a caller who called in, and he had a couple of quick questions. The first one was about Mitch McGarry being 20 years old and that being a little bit older than your average freshman.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, Mitch, you know, he had an extra year because of prep school and just kind of the way he played that out in terms of going to high school in Chesterton for a couple of years and then going on to a prep school, Brewster Academy in New Hampshire. But I think that, you know, I think his body is still developing, though. I mean, you know, he's never been at this level. And when Mitch came in, you know, he still didn't know how to condition himself. So, and he had a little foot problem, as Beilein has said a number of times. He put on a lot of weight, so now he had to get back into shape while he's learning how to play at this level. And I think that we're starting to see kind of the results of what his potential can be that got him, that had him ranked so highly previously.
And then the other question that Todd had was about Jalen Rose, who's been very outspoken as of late, trying to include the Fab Five back into Michigan basketball lore. And he wanted to know your feelings about how the Michigan administration was kind of thinking about how the Fab Five might be a little re-included into, if you will, into Michigan basketball history.
Well, I don't think there's any issue with the Fab Five. I mean, there's maybe some older people that, you know, didn't like the way the Fab Five kind of approached things. But for the most part, it's just an issue with Chris Webber. You know, I don't think that... I don't think that any of the other guys who were banned, who were disassociated, Maurice Taylor and Lewis Bullock and the late Robert Traylor, showed any inkling of wanting to reassociate with the program. And Weber really hasn't shown that either. I mean, he doesn't talk about Michigan very often. You know, it's not something he addresses. He didn't participate in Jalen's documentary, the 30 for 30 he did last year.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think that it's that important to Weber either. I think, but as Dave Brandon said in that documentary, he said a number of times, you know, an apology from Weber is what's going to smooth the surfaces here. And, you know, they really can't reconnect this group either. I mean, Weber can't really until May, and then the 10 years of disassociation is over. But at that point, you know, it really has to come on both sides that want to do it. It's not just, you know, Weber has to show that he's apologetic for the shame he put Michigan through, and he hasn't shown any indication that he's going to do that. Obviously, Jalen wants that to happen because, you know, those Fab Five is not being recognized the same way because of that. But I don't think it's going to be, regardless, an instant gratification situation where Michigan is just going to open its arms and say, oh, you apologize? Great, you're back. I think that it's a healing process, because what Weber did to shame the university, to knowingly, you know, violate NCAA rules, and then to lie about it, I think it's going to have repercussions for many, many years.
Well, and that's, you know, from Chris's perspective, you know, not to get off, you know, totally onto this tangent, but when from Chris's perspective, again, he has said all along that he has done, quote unquote, nothing wrong. So if he comes back and apologizes now, that's him admitting that, that he did indeed break NCAA rules. So, you know, I...
Well, it was FBI. I mean, it was FBI sworn testimony from Ed Martin.
Right.
And Ed Martin's son. So, I mean, at some point, you know, like one of these Lance Armstrong situations, at some point, Pete Rose, you know, at some point, you know, I mean, denying it is not gaining you anywhere. No one's... I don't think there's anyone out there believing that he did not take the money.
Right. Well, getting back to tonight's game and a little bit about a little bit about this rivalry. I mean, how surprising are you that here we are 170 games into this rivalry, and this is the first time that these two teams are meeting when they're both ranked in the top 10. I mean, this rivalry is special enough, but you throw that on top tonight, and I think it's going to make it even more electric.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it's great that both programs can succeed at the same time. I mean, this is a sports hotbed, and even though we have, you know, wonderful pro sports too, you know, the college basketball often gets a short shrift here. And I think that, you know, really people pay attention in March, and that, especially in the Metro Detroit area, and that's about it. So I think that for it to get attention at this point in the year is great. I think it's kind of interesting, though, too, that it's been cyclical, and people have always thought, you know, that maybe they couldn't both coexist at the same time. But I think that now, especially with recruiting expanding a little bit, it's not so focused just on the state of Michigan, that they can both thrive. They can both succeed at the same time because they have a broader base. And that's why North Carolina and Duke have succeeded, because they've taken players from all over the place, not just from in the state. And I think that that's obviously John Beilein. You look at Michigan's roster, you know, there's only, what, two players in the rotation, Morgan and John Horford from up your way, who are from the state of Michigan. Everyone, you know, Burke's from Ohio. There's a bunch of guys from Indiana. There's guys Hardaway's from Florida. So I think that this has potential for long-term viability on both sides, because both are recruiting from different places as well.
Well, it's for me, it's going to be fun to watch, obviously, as a fan of college basketball, when you have two programs as storied as these two, and having seen as many battles between the two as I have, you
right.
know, the buildup for this, that's one thing that Tom Izzo said yesterday is, you know, in football, you get that week-long buildup. Well, here you get, you know, 3 days, basically, or 2 days in some cases, because a lot of times the coaches don't talk to the media until a day before the game. So the buildup is, in the short term, is pretty large. But I know a lot of people are excited for it. I know you and the rest of your the rest of your staff from the Free Press made some selections yesterday and made some picks. Joe Rexroad said it was scary that you two almost picked the same score. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but how do you see this one going tonight?
I think that Michigan, you know, I'm in a situation where I've seen Michigan the whole way. I see every one of their games, and it's a prove-it situation to me. I think that Michigan just has to prove that it can win one of these road games. They've been close, you know, in these elite games. They were obviously, you know, a shot away at Ohio State. They were clearly a shot away at Wisconsin. And in Indiana, they came back from a large deficit and made it a game late, and they had their chance. But, you know, until you do it with a young team, you got to prove you can do it. And I think that maybe that's what tonight can be. You know, tonight can be their stamp. It's not going to – that's the thing about this game. I know there's a lot of hype because of the rankings and because of the excitement and everything, but it's just a game. You know, there have been games here in this rivalry, like the one 2 years ago that I wrote about today, that changed the fortunes of Michigan basketball by winning up there. I mean, since that date, they're 55-18. You know, before that, I mean, they were barely a 500 program.
Right.
And I think that those are the games that are the ones that have reverberations. Tonight really won't. I mean, if Michigan loses, you know, it's going to be a long shot for Michigan to win the Big Ten title. But Michigan could win the Big Ten tournament and still be a number one seed. Michigan State could go on and be a number one seed. These teams are going to the NCAA tournament as high seeds. They're probably going to play in Auburn Hills, both of them, as high seeds. So, you know, if that's all that matters, if the NCAA tournament is how you're evaluated, this game's interesting, but it's not life and death.
Well, and I think the game in early March in Ann Arbor could be bigger than this one, because now you're at the end of the Big Ten season, and
right.
we're really talking about that game being meaningful toward either team or both of them winning a championship. So as big as this one is, the one in a couple
right.
weeks, could be five times bigger, especially toward winning a Big Ten championship.
Right. I know there's an in-state thing here, but this is 4-8. Michigan played in 1-3 2 weeks ago in Indiana. I mean, who remembers that game, right?
Absolutely.
Did you remember that, right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, so, you know.
One right after another. All right, we've got a phone call. We're going to try and, and see if we can get Ray in here and ask you a quick question. Ray, welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, way before Wayne, Go Spartans beat the Big Bullies tonight. I just wondered, I think that's going to come down to the first 5 minutes. Michigan's coming off a tough loss. I think they're going to come out with a lot of intensity, so the Spartans better be ready. And David Brandon and Lloyd Carr, David Brandon and John Beilein, they're big liars. They took chocolate and nailed to Victor's Ink because they wouldn't return my phone calls. If you see them tonight, ask them how they liked their losses.
All right, Ray. Appreciate the phone call there. I'm not quite sure what that meant, but one last thing before we let you go, Mark, about that game a couple years ago, because John Beilein, I know, mentioned it. You mentioned writing your article today about how that has really changed Michigan's fortunes. Why do you think, other than, you know, just kind of being that breakthrough of winning at Michigan State, why has that game really kind of propelled this program here over the past couple years?
Well, I think that, as Beilein said, it gave them confidence. You know, this is a program that hadn't done those things. They hadn't beaten, I mean, they'd beaten Michigan State at home in, you know, once a year, you know, occasionally a couple times over the, but, you know, they went in there and they did it on that ground for the first time since 1997. They knew what the history is. They knew what they vanquished demons, and they knew that would propel them. And that was the year, if you remember, they went and they blasted, they squeaked into the tournament as, I don't know, maybe a 12 seed or something, and they blasted, or maybe a little higher than that, but they blasted Tennessee in the first round of the tournament. Then they took Duke to, you know, a buzzer shot, basically, with a chance to go to the Sweet 16. And for those teams that had moderate talent, and maybe one, you know, they had an NBA player in Darius Morris in that team, but other than that, and maybe Hardaway, I guess, will be an NBA player someday, but that's about it. So, you know, to win there, it gave them confidence, and that confidence has spurred the program. It got recruits. You know, recruits saw that they won, and, you know, Michigan could point to those things. And the bulk of this team was recruited since that day, and that's really a pretty big deal to them.
Mark, we appreciate a couple minutes today. Please drive safely up to East Lansing and look forward to chatting with you tonight before the game.
I'll see you then, Jeremy. Thanks.
All right. Mark Snyder, Michigan beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. Good to get a little bit of a Michigan perspective on things, too. And I have a feeling we probably could have done a whole hour with him on Chris Webber and that situation down there. And that was an interesting thought. And I know that that's been something that Michigan basketball fans have been wanting, that whole thing to kind of get patched up. I just don't think that from Chris's point of view, that's going to happen anytime soon. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more Sports Talk right after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, Scott Shane, a New York Times national security correspondent, talks about breaking drone-related stories, including the revelation that President Obama personally approves the names on the targeted assassination list. Join us.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
It's good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. It'll be windy and mostly cloudy with a high of 32 degrees today. Tonight's low 22 and partly cloudy. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high in the upper 30s. Thursday, a cloudy day, scattered snow, and a high near 40.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV with you until 2 o'clock. We are going to be open line here for the final 20 minutes of today's show, and you can reach us by dialing 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Alex is on the other side of the glass today producing today's show. He will be taking your phone calls. We want to remind you once again that we do have a pair of hockey tickets for Friday night's game, Michigan State and Northern Michigan, and Saturday night's game. If you'd like to be in the drawing for those two tickets, we will draw those on Wednesday. But the phone number, if you'd like to be added in the drawing for those tickets, 884-4783. That's 884-4783 if you want to be in the drawing to talk about to get included for the hockey tickets. So Michigan State, Northern Michigan again. We have two for Friday and two for Saturday. Those games, of course, at Munn Ice Arena. We want to give you a little bit of a rundown of what's coming up the rest of this week here on Sports Talk. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. And, of course, you see him on the Big Ten Network as well. He will be with us to kind of break down the Michigan-Michigan State basketball game. Coming up on Thursday, Dave Ellis will be in studio with us. Dave, of course, getting ready to make his appearance on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Wednesday. And that show will air locally on WILX-TV at 5:30 tomorrow afternoon. Then on Thursday, he will break all that down. Also on Thursday, we'll talk with Michigan State golf coach Casey Lubon, the green and white, coming off a runner-up finish at the Big Ten Match Play Championships this past weekend. And then on Friday, we will talk with Michigan State baseball coach Jake Boss Jr. His team is on the road to begin this season. And we do have a little note in today from the Big Ten Conference that Indiana has been selected by the Big Ten coaches as the favorite to win the 2013 championship. That was announced. The coaches voted on the top six teams and also selected three players from their own teams on a players to watch list. So if we break down the top six in the coaches poll, it goes Indiana 1, Nebraska 2, Michigan State 3, Ohio State 4, Minnesota 5, and Illinois number 6. And looking at the Spartans, they're coming off their first NCAA appearance since 1979. At Big Ten tournament berth, they've got 20 letter winners back. They're led by first team Big Ten selection left fielder Jordan Kerr and starting pitchers David Garner and Andrew Wozak as well. So that's a little bit of a note today coming out of the Big Ten Conference that Michigan State, by the coaches, selected as third in the preseason here in the Big Ten. But we'll take your phone calls here. Of course, we're talking Michigan-Michigan State today, the big game tonight at the Breslin Center. 9 o'clock, and we'll take your phone calls at 355-9527. Let's go out and talk to Mike, who's calling us this morning, this afternoon on his cell phone. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. What's going on with you?
Well, it looks like they found a permanent person to take over. So you got an additional job to do.
Well, I don't want to go that far. I mean, they've been nice enough to have me come in for this week, and I think somebody else is coming in next week, and I know that WKAR is taking a solid look at how they want the show to go, and if that means I'm a part of the mix, that's great. I'm certainly going to throw my hat in the ring, and we'll see what happens from there.
Well, it seems you're filling out your resume for him right now.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. What else is going on with you today?
Well, the good thing about it is, number one, you're local. And you deal a lot with the local sports. But number two is, being in the business, you know a lot of people that you can bring on, like Earl did. And it's good that you kept that format of letting people call and ask your guests some questions. Because no, I don't know of any other show that does that. And that's very good that you're continuing that. And the good thing is, you know, being local, you know a lot of the local issues that most of the people are interested in besides sports, which, you know, kind of brings a little something else to the table, which is, you know, another nice factor, I think.
Well, I do think that's the important part of this, you know, right now, 1 hour talk show is that, you know, the fans are included, the callers are included, because that's what makes this show go. I can sit in this room and flap my gums for 54 minutes, but I, you know, that's going to get old after a while. So you're right, there is a certain amount of interaction that I enjoy when I do the radio, and that's talking with callers like yourself and others of the regular callers. So, I think Earl had a great format. I really think he had a format that engaged the callers. callers, engage the listeners. And if you're going to do a show like this, that's something that you need to do. If I'm lucky enough to sit in this chair permanently, then that's a format that I would like to continue.
That's good. That's good. As far as the game tonight, I think Michigan's going to come out and they're going to score some quick points and go ahead on State like a lot of other Big Ten teams do, and then we'll catch them halfway through the first period, kind of be neck and neck by halftime. And then, State just kind of starts slowly pulling away. And Tim's show, I picked 69-65 for the final score for MSU. So nice, it'll be nice and close, I think, but it's probably a good format that it possibly may go tonight.
Well, how exciting would it be if kind of like football, this came down to the last possession? You know, a lot of times in the NFL, you want to be that team that has the ball at the end of the game. College basketball, I'd rather have the lead than be down by a point or two and have to worry about scoring. But really, I think tonight could come down to the last possession. And, it happened last year in Ann Arbor, if you remember that game. You know, Draymond Green going down the lane, and he wasn't able to hit the shot. But that game was a last possession game. And frankly, I would be surprised if it's not a close game, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's one of those that's a last possession type thing tonight, too.
Well, look at Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yep.
Their shot in regulation, last shot, boom, he hits that miracle shot, sends it to overtime, and then they go ahead by three. Michigan has the last shot. They take it, they miss, boom. There you go, one shot away from tying it and going to a second overtime. So.
Should be a lot of fun tonight. We're certainly looking forward to it. Mike, we appreciate the thoughts today, and hope you have fun watching the game.
Thank you. Have a good show today.
I appreciate it. From Michael in Lansing, let's go to Michael in Saginaw. Hey, Michael, how are you today?
How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I want to know, what about the big game tonight? If you was Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin played both teams, and Wisconsin did. When you watch Wisconsin play, how they beat both teams, what's the difference between Wisconsin beating Michigan and Michigan State?
Well, remember, Michigan State won in Madison this year. And, of course, Wisconsin just got Michigan over the weekend. But, you know, Wisconsin plays such a different style. You know, they really slow it down. They really dictate the pace of the game. For me, this game's going to be won on the defensive end and rebounding. I mean, again, Michigan State is not rebounding in the Big Ten like Michigan State teams of old. I think they're 25th in the country in rebounding, but in Big Ten games, they're only out-rebounding their opponents by 2.2 rebounds a game, and that's something where Michigan State has always flourished. And they're not doing as good a job this year. I mean, Minnesota out-rebounded the Spartans badly the other night. So, it's one of those things where I really think, again, you get back to the staples of basketball. Defense and rebounding, and that's going to win the game tonight for either team.
Okay, here's a good matchup for you. Brandon Dawson. If Brandon Dawson was like Tim Hardaway right now, which one would be the better player? You know, like Tim Hardaway is a junior and Brandon Dawson is a sophomore. Do Brandon Dawson got the game like Tim Hardaway does right now? Or because I know Tim Hardaway got jump shot and he can flash through the hoop, and Brandon Dawson needs to develop that kind of game where he can flash through the hoop right now, but he just needs that jump shot, don't you think?
I think you nailed it right on the head, Michael. I think he's a guy who can get to the rim whenever he wants, but his jump shot, it still needs a lot of work. It's certainly not at the level where Hardaway's is. And Hardaway, frankly, has been shooting the three so well here over the last couple of weeks that could be a dangerous weapon for Michigan tonight, the way he's been shooting the three. So looking at the two guys as they are right now, certainly Hardaway's game is a little bit more well-rounded right now than Dawson's.
More versatile. Got more versatility.
No question.
But I was going to tell you, having a pro basketball player, you got to help him, right? Hardaway and Robinson, right? Having fathers that play pro?
No doubt. Yeah, I think they can pick up a lot from their dads. There's no question.
Okay, then. All right, then. I'll just pass it along. Thank you, and enjoy your Fat Tuesday, okay?
All right, Michael. We forgot to mention it's Fat Tuesday, for sure. Appreciate the thoughts today on the Michigan State-Michigan game tonight. We've got about 10 minutes left in today's show, and we'll be taking your phone calls again at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 1-877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Let's go back out to our phone lines today and welcome in Louie, who's in East Lansing. Hi, Louie. How are you?
Hey, Jeremy. Great show.
Thank you, sir. What's going on with you today?
Very excited about the game tonight. It's been quite a while. Well, I guess they say never, since they've both been ranked in the top 10 and played each other, Michigan and Michigan State.
Yep.
And big Michigan State fan, but I've slowly become a fan of John Beilein, the coach, and for a lot of different reasons. His demeanor, his temperament. Watched the game Saturday against Wisconsin. You never see him really get excited. You see him teaching a lot on the sidelines. And so, you know, for a Michigan State fan to feel that way, you know, I really have a lot of respect for him. I hope it's a close game, like you said. That would be exciting and fun for the fans versus somebody to go out and get a 15-20-point win. What I hope it doesn't come down to is our referee crew going over to the monitor and taking long looks and slowing the game and being a 9 o'clock game, a couple of those, and we'll all be having toothpicks in our eyes tomorrow.
Well, hey, that was a big question on a couple of other radio shows. I know a lot of people called into Tim's show earlier today, and they wanted to know who the crew was. Like, that was going to decide the game. You know, if you know, a Tim Hightower or Ted Valentine, somebody like that was doing the game, like, that was going to, you know, have some sort of determining factor on the outcome. And, you know, while I just think it's more than who's doing the game, it's how they call it. And I don't really care who's doing it. I don't see as one official has anything against anybody else. It's just making sure that the game is called consistently as far as fouls are concerned from the first half to the second. Because
I have a few friends that I watch games with. One's a Michigan fan, one's an Indiana fan. And for Ted Valentine, they call him TV Ted.
No doubt.
When it's prime time and it's ESPN, you can be sure that he's going to have a hand on each coach at some time and talking to them. And I would be curious, you know, to hear what the Big Ten coaches think of him. I'm sure, I don't know if they rate him, but maybe they do. But you get to Valentine, Hightower, and Jim Burns, and I'll probably turn the TV off and go get some sleep, because that would be quite a crew they're going to put together. But, you know, it is what it is. And just when they go to the monitors and, you know, we see it on replay, and I pretty much can make my mind up, you know, in 20 seconds. And sometimes it just drags out too long, takes the game on. So, but go green, and hoping for a good game and great show. Keep up the good work. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, we appreciate it today. And I guess I want to follow up, Louie, on your first point about John Beilein. And I think you really hit the nail right on the head with Coach Beilein, his demeanor. I think the best way that I would describe John Beilein would be classy. I mean, had a chance to meet him a couple times when he was up in the mid-Michigan area recruiting John Horford at Grand Ledge. I would be out there shooting games for Channel 10, and he was sitting right in the stands, oftentimes with, you know, some popcorn in his hands, just, and he was visible. He would sit in the first two or three rows, and people would come up and ask for autographs, obviously, and he was always very respectful when they came up. And you know, Tom Izzo talked about it yesterday. You know, there's no way that you can love your rival. That should be illegal. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're talking Michigan, Michigan State, Duke, North Carolina. You know, if you're talking East Lansing, Sexton here in the area, you know, it doesn't matter. Or Sexton and Everett, or Everett and Eastern, any of the city schools here in Lansing, you know, it is illegal to love your rival. And when you get in those games, they are big games, and you know you want to win, because you know that's going to help you, especially in this series right now. It's going to help you take a step toward winning a Big Ten championship, and ultimately that's the goal. That's where you want to get to. And but in the longer term, as we talked to Drew Neitzel today, it's that, you know, when his career is over at Michigan State, you know, he's somewhere wearing his Michigan State gear, and if somebody wearing Michigan a Michigan hat or shirt comes up to him, he can say, "Hey, man, I was 5-2 against the maize and blue in my career." So, you know, those are the kind of things that stay with you forever. And that's what, you know, Mark D'Antonio talked about, being able to walk the streets. But, you know, those rivalries are important. And John Beilein said as much yesterday. He said, I don't hate Michigan State. I love Michigan. And I want to see Michigan beat Michigan State every time, because they're a rival of ours. It's, you know, the school 75 miles away, and that's how rivalries go, and that's how they should be. The exciting part for me is seeing these two programs at the level that they're at right now, because we just have not seen that in years past, where they have both been top 10 schools. It's never happened before. So to see both teams' national prominence and then playing not just one, as we mentioned, tonight, but another game in early March down in Ann Arbor that are going to be so meaningful, it's going to add a little something extra to this rivalry. And, you know, when all is said and done, you know, this game tonight will forever go into the lore of the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry as a special game. Now, we don't know, sitting here at 2 o'clock, what's going to happen 7 hours from now, but looking forward to it, it's really easy to get excited about what could come tonight at the Breslin Center as these two teams match up. But again, for me, I think you go back to the staples of what it takes to win basketball games, and that's defense and rebounding. And, you know, can Michigan State find a way to check Tim Hardaway Jr.? Mark Schneider brought up a great point. Nick Stauskas has not been the best defender this year for the Wolverines. Who is he going to guard? Who's going to maybe have an opportunity for Michigan State to score some points? Is that going to be Gary Harris? Is he going to have a chance to maybe get open, knock down some threes, or take Stauskas to the basket? So those matchups, what's going to happen inside? How does Mitch McGarry fare against the Michigan State big men? How does John Horford from Grand Ledge, how does he fare against the Michigan State big men on the inside? Those are all things that are questions that we can talk about 7 hours before the game and look forward to finding out the answers tomorrow. And that's exactly what we'll do. And again, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network will be joining us tomorrow to talk about this game, you know, break it all down. And we will certainly do that tomorrow. Again, he's going to be on Wednesday. On Thursday, Dave Ellis from Michigan State Sports Broadcasting will be in the studio with us. And we will talk about his appearance on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Again, you can see that at 5:30 Wednesday afternoon on WILX-TV. For those of you who don't know Dave, he started his career up in the Upper Peninsula, came down to Channel 6 here in Lansing before moving on to Michigan State. We'll also talk to Casey Lubon, the men's golf coach at Michigan State, on Thursday, and kind of wrap up things on Friday with Jake Boss Jr. And you never know, we may have a couple of other guests that join us throughout the week as well. But today we certainly want to say thank you to Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State point guard. He joined us early in today's show, just sharing some memories that he had from the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. Of course, catching us up on what's going on with his career back from Switzerland after an ankle injury. He's rehabbing that, and I'm sure he will be back on the court soon. We need to get him healthy, get him back out on the golf course for sure. Mark Schneider from the Detroit Free Press, Michigan beat writer, also joined us to talk about some things from the Wolverine perspective. And that was good to get his take as well. Want to thank all the callers as well. Of course, I hope you all get a chance to watch the game tonight at 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we will break it all down for you. It'll be an interesting show tomorrow to talk about what happened, what didn't happen, and where these two teams stand after this big game. You can also join us on WILX-TV tonight for all the coverage and tomorrow as well. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. I want to say thank you for listening today. And from Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a great day, everybody.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.